You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, February 3rd, 2025. It don't come easy. Despite challenges, global shipping eyes shift to lower carbon bunker fuel. Published by Housley Carr. After successfully reducing emissions of pollutants like sulfur and nitrogen, the global shipping industry now is focused on ratcheting down, and eventually eliminating, its emissions of carbon dioxide, or CO2, and other greenhouse gases, or GHGs. It's no easy task. Crude oil-based bunker like low sulfur fuel oil, or LSFO, and marine gas oil, or MGO, are readily available, relatively inexpensive, and pack a lot of energy into each gallon. But GHG reduction goals are in place, both globally and in the European Union, or EU, and shipping companies are taking steps to meet them, initially with more LNG-fueled vessels and later with ships powered by clean methanol, clean ammonia, and biofuels. In today's RBN blog, we discuss the shift in bunker fuel consumption since IMO 2020 was implemented 5 years ago and the efforts to transition to even cleaner shipping fuels through the late 2020s and beyond. Global shipping. The 50,000-plus tankers, dry bulkers, container ships, cruise ships, and other commercial vessels plying international waters, accounts for up to 3% of the total energy consumed on the planet every day and a roughly similar share of GHG emissions. Ships operating on the high seas are subject to rules developed and implemented by the International Maritime Organization, or IMO, including IMO 2020, which kicked in on January 1st of that year. As we explained in All Around the World, IMO 2020 slashed the allowable sulfur content in bunker fuel to 0.5% from the old 3.5%, quite a change, considering that shippers for many years had relied on low-cost high-sulfur fuel oil, or HSFO, to meet their needs. There had been some concern at the time that refineries would have trouble keeping pace with the rising demand for IMO 2020-compliant fuels like LSFO and MGO, but those worries were mitigated by, among other things, the efforts by many shippers to install onboard scrubbers that removed most of the sulfur from ships' emissions and enabled the vessels to continue using HSFO. Also, COVID hit within a few weeks of IMO 2020's implementation, sharply reducing demand for global shipping and bunker fuels for several months, thereby giving shipping companies and refiners more time to adjust to the new regulatory regime. Today, the market for distillates used in shipping is pretty well balanced. The focus on GHGs. As we said in the introduction to today's blog, the IMO also has had GHGs on its radar. In 2018, the organization's members approved an initial strategy that called for the shipping industry to begin reducing its overall GHG emissions as soon as possible and achieve a 50% reduction from 2008 levels by 2050. Given that shipping activity is expected to increase over that period, the strategy also called for a 40% reduction in shipping's carbon intensity by 2030 and a 70% reduction by 2050. In 2023, the IMO's updated GHG strategy established a goal to reduce global shipping's GHG emissions by at least 20%, again from 2008 levels, by 2030 with an ambition to strive for a 30% cut, as well as goals to achieve a 70% reduction, striving for an 80% cut, by 2040 and net zero GHG emissions from the shipping industry by 2050 or so. To prod shipping companies toward the 2030 goal, the new IMO strategy said that zero or near zero emission technologies, fuels and or energy sources are to represent at least 5% and ideally 10% of the energy used in international shipping by 2030. Further, the IMO is looking to review and possibly ramp up its 2023 GHG strategy in 2028. It also has been working on a global carbon pricing mechanism as well as a framework to assess and measure the well-to-wake GHG emissions of shipping fuels. These and other measures to support the transition to zero and low carbon bunker are expected to be approved as soon as this spring and implemented in 2027. All that said, there's a lot of uncertainty about how this will work out. In parallel to the IMO's GHG goals and regulations, the EU on January 1, 2025, implemented its new Fuel EU Maritime Regulation, whose aim is to reduce GHG emissions from commercial ships that transport people or cargo in the European Economic Area, or the EEA. Namely ports of call in the EU, Iceland, Liechtenstein, and Norway. The rules, which include financial penalties for non-compliance, apply to 100% of the energy used on trips between EEA ports and 50% of the energy used on trips between EEA and non-EEA ports, Fuel EU Maritime set a goal of reducing the European shipping industry's carbon intensity by 2% from a 2020 baseline, in 2025, 6% by 2030, 14.5% by 2035, 31% by 2040, 62% by 2045, and 80% by 2050. The rules also provide a GHG calculation bonus to shippers that use e-fuels such as green methanol and green ammonia. The current bunker mix. Before we get to how the GHG reduction goals of the IMO and the EU may affect shipping companies, refineries, and fuel choices in the future, let's look at the current situation regarding bunker fuels. The implementation of IMO 2020 significantly shifted the shipping fuel mix, that is, the volumes of different types of fuels being used worldwide to power ocean-going ships. According to various sources, more than 6,000 vessels subject to the IMO rule have installed scrubbers that remove sulfur from ships' emissions and thereby enable them to continue using 3.5% sulfur HSFO. However, most ships plying the high seas switch to IMO 2020 compliant, 0.5% sulfur LSFO or MGO. Obvious and understandable exceptions are the world's 500-plus LNG carriers, most of which use boil-off gas as either their primary or secondary fuel source, and LPG carriers, an increasing number of which are fueled at least in part by LPG. A growing number of ships that are not LNG carriers are now fueled by LNG. As of 2024, there were more than 700 such vessels in operation, and more than 1,000 were on order. Keep in mind that while the number of non-LNG carrier vessels powered by LNG has been rising, they still represent only a small portion of the more than 50,000 ships subject to IMO 2020 and other IMO rules. An important note, LNG-fueled ships generate up to 25% less GHGs on a well-to-wake basis than those powered by conventional bunker-like LFSO and MGO. Three other bunker alternatives have been cropping up in recent years as ways to deal with the requirements not only of IMO 2020 but also with the IMO's and the EU's rules on reducing ships' GHG emissions. These are: Number 1. LPG, aka liquefied petroleum gas, propane and or butanes, whose sulfur content is typically well under 0.5%, the maximum allowed under IMO 2020, and whose GHG emissions are as much as 17% lower than MGOs on a well-to-wake basis. 150 LPG carriers fueled at least in part by LPG were in operation last year and 226 are on order. Number 2. Methanol, the clean type of which, produced from either landfill biogas, biomass gasification, or from combining CO2 and hydrogen produced by water run through a renewables-powered electrolyzer, see we're gonna make it for more, can reduce lifecycle GHG emissions by up to 70% compared to conventional, oil-based refined products. Number 3. Ammonia, a clean version of which can be made in a way that either generates no CO2 or captures and sequesters most of the CO2 that is produced. See our blog called Try Just a Little Bit Harder for more on clean ammonia as a shipping fuel. Three important points before we wrap up. First, when shipping companies order new ships, they're making long-term investments. Typically, these vessels are designed to be in operation for at least 20 to 25 years. Therefore, the engines powering these ships need to be able to handle the fuels that will be required 10, 15 or 20 years from now to meet expected environmental mandates. Second, the pace at which new sources of low and no carbon fuels will be developed is highly uncertain. That is, while there are big plans for building, say, blue and green ammonia plants and clean ammonia production facilities, it remains to be seen how much capacity will be added and how soon. And third, the supporting infrastructure for supplying ships with alternative fuels needs to be in place. An increasing number of ports now have LNG bunkering assets, but bunkering for other alternative fuels remains very limited. All that suggests that as the GHG goals of the IMO, the EU and other entities ratchet up over the next few years, a lot of work needs to be done to make low and no carbon fuels available. Also, it seems likely that shipping companies will order vessels that can be powered by both readily available fuels, i.e., LSFO and MGO plus LNG, and by low and no carbon fuels such as clean methanol and clean ammonia. Put simply, the shipping industry is taking baby steps toward reducing its GHG emissions but has not yet taken any giant leaps. It Don't Come Easy was written by Richard Starkey, Ringo Starr, and released by Ringo Starr as a non-album single in April 1971. Recorded at Triton Studios in London in March 1970, the record was produced by George Harrison. It was Starr's first worldwide released single since the Beatles officially broke up in 1970. It went to number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart and has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. It has remained Starr's biggest hit as a solo artist. Personnel on the record were Ringo Starr, lead vocals, drums, George Harrison, guitars, Klaus Voormann, bass, Gary Wright, piano, Ron Cattermole, sax, trumpet, Moll Evans, tambourine, Jim Keltner, maracas, and Pete Ham and Tom Evans, backing vocals. Ringo Starr, Sir Richard Starkey, is an English drummer, singer, songwriter, musician, and actor who achieved worldwide fame as the drummer for the Beatles. He joined the Beatles in 1962, replacing their drummer, Pete Best. As a member of the Beatles, Starr released 13 studio albums, 5 live albums, 54 compilation albums, 36 EPs, and 63 singles. As a solo artist, he has released 20 studio albums, 11 live albums, 6 compilation albums, 3 EPs, and 46 singles. Starr has been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, as a Beatle in 1988 and as a solo artist in 2015. He also been cited as the wealthiest drummer in the world, with a net worth of over $350 million. Starr continues to record and tour with his all-star band, which has a revolving crew of superstar musicians. They plan on hitting the road again in June.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.